This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Along with the Green Bay Packers for all of what happened during the last, I guess, week since he announced, or it was announced, that he tested positive for COVID-19. The Green Bay quarterback will be back with his team against Seattle, and that's big news for fans of the Green Bay Packers. But Aaron Rodgers has plenty to say about friends who he says ditched him and some of the hot spotlight that was on him for what was said when he went back to training camp. And also, he addressed the backlash completely and said that he was tested 300 times for COVID-19. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, here we are in this land and others, as I know many people are listening to us in other parts, small and wide. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, a quick, giant reminder at the top of this is we get so much mail. I love it. You can virtually reach out and touch us 24/7. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. It's anything but business as usual when it comes to Washington, D.C. There's plenty to jump on there. But first, I think it's worth just a couple of quick strokes on what's happened with Aaron Rodgers since we last met. So the NFL did fine the Green Bay Packers $300,000. Aaron Rodgers was fined just a little bit over $14,000, as was wide receiver Alan Lazard for not following COVID-19 protocols. But again, the Packers the most, $300,000. That's not a surprise when this was announced and what had happened in the days following that announcement. You knew the Packers were going to get slammed with something. I just didn't think it would be quite as much as it was compared to what the individual player would get. What Rodgers had to say on Tuesday was, I made some comments that many people might have felt were misleading. To anybody who felt misled by those comments, I take full responsibility for those comments. He said, quote, I understand that this issue in general is very charging to a lot of people because we're talking about public health. I totally respect that. I made a decision that was in the best interest based on consulting with my doctors, and I understand that not everybody is going to understand that necessarily. But I respect everybody's opinion. Rodgers says he's feeling really good after testing positive for COVID-19 last week, because that's the other part of this. How is he doing? Rodgers says that he's been following strict NFL protocols for unvaccinated players to a T. And as I said, he has been tested 300 times before testing positive this past week. He didn't get vaccinated because he has an allergy to an ingredient in the Moderna Pfizer vaccines and was scared about the possible side effects from the J&J vax. He said the decision to seek alternative treatment was what was best for his body. And he will play this Sunday at home versus the Seahawks. So that's the latest. There are lots of people talking about it. And that's why we led with what's been going on with Aaron Rodgers, because he's right. It is very charged. In fact, I say this all the time. Vaxxed, maxed, masked, not masked, not vast. I mean, this is the world we live in. This is it. This is a big chunk of the conversation around the virtual water cooler, or the actual physical one, as now many people are definitely back in offices, depending what the company is and depending on where the company is located. All right. The other fallout happening in this country is the reaction still to Astro World. And I think so much of that is because massive lawsuits have already been filed, and because this was an outdoor concert, and because there's also speculation about future concerts or concerts that have been disastrous in the past. Some people even go way back decades ago to what happened in Philadelphia with The Who and people that were trampled going to that concert. But this was a much different scenario. So videos of the crowd crush that killed 8 people have been all over social media, especially TikTok, in the last couple of days. There are a lot of theories, conspiracy theories, that are floating around out there, accusing rapper Travis Scott, who funded and performed at the festival, of orchestrating a massive satanic ritual. This ain't a festival, it's a sacrifice. That was one of the comments. The music industry is demonic and collects souls. That was another comment that was out there. And, of course, this now is floating around in print, especially in a lot of the Houston mags or rags or, well, you know, whatever, daily newspapers. But experts say it's absurd, and even if it gains traction, it's ridiculous. It's not about that whatsoever. That it is about not stopping the concert when it was getting out of control. That people were tweeting and saying things in the middle of the concert that might have ignited some of the people that were there to do the pushing and the shoving and ultimately the surge that happened that led to those deaths. So, regardless of whatever the theory is, lawsuits are being filed all over the place because of, again, those tragic deaths of so many young people. And then so many people who, of course, were injured. You know, 8 people died, but another 23 people were hospitalized. 11 people had heart attacks. 300 were treated on site. Astroworld, this is what it's going to be about. Experts will have to demonstrate how the organizers and performers of Astroworld failed to provide their concert-going fans with a safe concert environment, resulting in those injuries and deaths. And that's going to be obviously a critical role in and knowing the victim stories and what happened to them. So far, 68 victims have sued Travis Scott and Drake, two of the big performers and part of the engine behind Astroworld. And for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, it was a 2-day concert that was held over the weekend. Friday, it turned disastrous. They didn't even do the Saturday part of the concert because of what happened with the surge and the people ultimately dying and being injured, etc. And like I said, now you got the lawsuits, now you have the theories about what happened behind the scenes and what allowed that crowd to thrive and push and do what they did and just trample on top of other people and not even pay attention to what was happening there. Certainly, there will be much more to come with some of these lawsuits. I'm certain of it. All right, inflation. And why is it getting hard already to find what would normally be easy when it comes to a Thanksgiving dinner? We're talking about that on the flip side.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do, to reflect who we are and what we hope to build. I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. Our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to Meta.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, once again, the mailbag, as I said right at the top, is flooded with thoughts on all kinds of things. I love this because so often, I think, with people listening at all different times, with schedules that are upside down, or maybe they're right side up, but it feels upside down in the world that we're living in right now. It's just a ton of you email this show, so thanks for that. All right, got this one from Barb. Hey, Kate, listen to the show all the time. I'm listening to you on a place that you always send some big love bombs out to, and that would be Arizona. I was wondering when the last time you were in Arizona, where you were when you went to Arizona. And also, in looking at what's happening with the vaccine and kids, I know you said one night on the show that the desire was that from the CDC was that 28 million kids get vaccinated. So first, do you think they'll really hit that number? And have you heard that more high-profile people are speaking out against it? All right, so first, Barb, the last time I was in Arizona was... I was there right before the pandemic, and I was in Phoenix. And that was like in February. Previous to that, I had been in 2019. I had probably been there 10 times, including in Tucson, where 10:30 a.m. is, in Sedona, you know, all over the place. I love the different areas. I love what I call them, the nooks and crannies of the desert in Arizona, because the rock formations are mind-blowing, whether you're just outside of Tucson or, you know, whether you're in Sedona. Sedona, every time I go to Sedona, it's just magical. But all over Arizona, absolutely. So, yeah, thanks for that. So with the kids, 28 million, no, I don't think that the 28 million... That's magical thinking. I don't think 28 million is achievable, because I think there are lots of parents that don't want their children to be vaccinated. They're still worried about what's in the vaccine, what's the reaction. They're not, you know, they're they're not going to get the kids vaccinated. But Matthew McConaughey, maybe this is what you were thinking of, but there are some high-profile people that are swinging out against it. McConaughey says he wants to find out what I think more parents are saying. He wants to find out more information before mandating vaccines for his kids. He says, you know, in the last couple of weeks, now that they're talking about the vaccine being available, which it is, he said he's hesitant to require his kids to get the vaccine. He said, I still want to find out more information. There's going to be a time when you're going to have to roll the dice one way or the other and go, where are the numbers in my favor? I kind of like the way he put that. And he said right now he's not doing it. He thinks that the public should get off the narrative of insisting there's not a conspiracy theory on vaccines. So, he's a guy who, of course, is a high-profile actor, but he's also been out there as a potential governor of Texas, and he says he's not against vaccines. He just wants more information about them. So he says, you know, he's vaccinated. His wife is vaccinated. He said his 90-year-old mother, who's staying with them, is immunocompromised. So that prompted them to get the vaccine, and he chose to do it rather than because he was told to. But they have three kids, a 13-year-old, an 11, and an 8-year-old. But he says, you know, the vaccination and kids for him has nothing to do with how seriously he's taking the pandemic. You know, he says he found being quarantined harder than his friends since last year, and that the family has done a lot of coronavirus testing, you know. So he wants to be in the position, he says, where I can understand what's in it, what's happening, you know, all that sort of thing. And it's kind of like the HPV vaccine. Some people are saying, oh, yeah, like HPV vaccine, does it have serious issues? And what are the long-term studies on that? And, of course, that wasn't mandated. And so when it comes to your kids and the government and having to take, you know, being offered these shots, he has a point about what ultimately what is in the vaccine and is it safe to do that, and what does it mean for them? And so I think that 28 million is not achievable because of the questions, right? This one comes to us from Gunner, and Gunner says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, the Packers being fined $300,000. Wow. Not that they can't afford it, but it had to sting a little bit. I don't know that I was necessarily surprised. I think you said it, that they would be fined. Then there's Aaron Rodgers, who didn't necessarily apologize, but I guess took responsibility for those comments that he made. But I wonder if this at all affects his future with the Packers. What do you think on that? Let's see what happens in the season. Let's see what happens at the tail end of the season. I mean, look, if this team goes to the NFC Championship game and they win and they represent in the Super Bowl, I don't know if he wants to come back. I mean, that was heading into the season. That was the take on Aaron Rodgers because of what happened leading up to camp. And was he going back, and if he did go back, how long? I think his future is up in the air. Anyway. So he gets fined $14,650, as did Alan Lazard, also $14,650 for violating protocol. That is on the books across the board in the NFL. Anybody else would have gotten fined the same thing. This is not going away still. I still think there's going to be more conversation about this, depending on how he plays, too, right? And depending on if somebody else has a similar... Now, that's the thing. All bets are off if somebody else in the NFL has a similar situation, right? And that's part of it. And especially with people who are on edge about these rules for workers, these new rules. Who's covered by the rules? Who's tested? What happens when you regularly get tested? Businesses requiring workers to get tested for it. I was at a local Walgreens today, and I saw giant signs about testing for COVID. Here's the tests and vaccines, and there was a lot of forms that they had piled up that people were filling out, and some were just getting vaccinated, some were going in to get the tests. So you can see this is, I mean, this is just normal for a place like a Walgreens or CVS or whatever, but I noticed it seemed like a lot of people were doing the testing thing to me. Just saying. All right, let's get to this one. Tom says, Kate, for something totally different, I'll tell you what, when I look at what happened with Xfinity and the internet outages, I thank goodness that I don't live in that part of the country where I have to rely on them. I think there are more people that complain about Comcast and Xfinity than any other internet network. Do you, or am I just thinking that? I think that you grew up where Comcast headquarters are. What do you hear from people? Yes, yeah, so for let me roll this back for people who don't know. There were 52,000 reports of outages on Tuesday morning. So then they had intermittent disruptions, and that lasted for at least a couple of hours. Then there were problems in San Francisco, but Philly had problems. Chicago had problems. A lot of other areas in the Northeast had problems. I saw the funniest thing that was on Twitter, and it was a map of the United States, and it showed the outage update from Xfinity. And it was Bob Swanson. If you know that name, you know the comedian. And it looked like someone took a black crown and had drawn all over the map, right? So it was bad. They aren't doing themselves any favors, that's for sure, because people are frustrated from coast to coast. And they did apparently restore all that of that power, but when you're working from home and you're down for 2 hours, yeah, one thing to be out for 10 minutes or so, but that starts to add up. Then you got to think of, where am I scrambling to go and get internet? Where can I get internet? Trust me, I've done it. Run across the street to whatever the local coffee shop is, wherever you are. And there's probably lots of people piled up and sitting in there too, or like a Panera or someplace where they let you kind of grab just something to drink and flop up on hook up to the internet. All right, hang with us. More coming your way on the flip side.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's going to push many people out of work.
That's Indiana's Attorney General Todd Rokita discussing the coronavirus vaccine mandate issued by the White House, which is on hold as lawsuits from states like Indiana play themselves out.
It's not going to win any hearts and minds here in the Hoosier State, so we got to fight against this.
Rokita, who spoke on Fox News Prime Time, is Attorney General for one of over two dozen states that are now fighting fighting the mandate. If the Biden administration has its way, it will mean that workers will have to get vaccinated by January 4th, and those who don't get vaccinated will have to submit to weekly testing if they want to keep their job. And companies that refuse to implement the mandate could face fines of up to $14,000. All three major indexes on Wall Street finishing in the red in Tuesday trading, and this is USA Radio News. Pfizer is submitting its COVID vaccine booster for emergency use authorization again, as the drug maker says it submitted the request to the FDA so that all Americans 18 and over could be able to roll up their sleeves for the booster doses. It made a similar request in September, but a panel decided to recommend the booster only be available to a limited group. The latest on Friday night's Houston concert tragedy from USA Radio's Tim Berg.
Investigators looking into the Astroworld concert tragedy in Texas are combing through what's left at NRG Park in Houston, which has been sealed off by a judge. Attorney Benny Agosto represents several people who were hurt by a mob of fans, and he says the scene they describe is haunting.
They saw lifeless people.
They're suing the headliner, Travis Scott, as well as everybody else who was involved in last Friday's concert.
Eight people died in that stampede, and this is USA Radio News.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs believes virtually all disease states can be backtracked to digestive problems.
Deficiencies in stomach acid can affect all downstream systems. Taking digestive enzymes can be amazingly helpful for dealing with deficiencies in stomach acid. Enzymes require low pH for activation. You can also use aloe vera juice, by the way. Sugars in aloe vera have a coating effect on the digestive system. Longevity has a cool product called Noni Plus, which is made from aloe and the noni fruit. It's tasty. It can also function to support digestive acidification of the stomach, and activation of digestive enzymes.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your digestive system by ordering Noni Plus from Longevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Thanksgiving and the breakdown of the goodies, and can you find everything that you're looking for Thanksgiving? You know, the answer to that is if you see it now, boy, pick it up, because the staples that are normally there, right, really the supplies are down. There is no question about it. It's not some made-up number pulling it out of the sky. There's a market research firm, IRI, and supplies, those food and household items, are down 4% to 11%, lower than normal. And you probably noticed it. I have absolutely noticed it at the different markets that I've been to. So it's not completely bare shelves, right? Like you think of toilet paper and the run on that in March of 2020. And overall, supplies were down 13%. But think of what's on a list for a Thanksgiving, you know, dinner. What are the essentials, right? The, obviously, the turkey. And if you look at turkeys, they're in low stock. By the end of October, turkeys were down 60%. They were out of stock, lower than the same time last year by more than 30 percentage points. Now, this, again, I think I might have said this once before, this comes from Butterball, one of the largest U.S. turkey processors. They say they've been experiencing labor and supply challenges, just like other organizations, so this is what they got to work with. And then you look at, somebody said to me today, do you know where I can get some cranberry sauce? Well, cans of cranberry sauce are 20% out of stock and declining. So Ocean Spray, which is one of the popular ones, probably the most popular one, they manufacture this cranberry sauce and other fruit kinds of products. They say they've had issues with materials and transportation, so that's why the availability of the trucking, you know, the trucking industry, how they're getting hit. Hey, are you into the potatoes like yams and the sweet potatoes? The yams, well below levels of last year. They are a quarter out of stock, a quarter out of stock. So if that's your big thing, if you find it, grab it. Boxes of stuffing. Personally, I like to make my grandmother's stuffing recipe, but some people say I'm not making everything. They reach for the stuffing that's already really kind of pre-made stuff. And because of that, there's been an increase of production of stovetop. So that stuffing is below average levels, but they try to produce more, so you might not have as tough of a time. Pies. So what's the essential thing? A pie and a turkey, right? Frozen pies, probably easier to find. The other types of pies that you would normally get in stock, like pumpkin pie, etc., at some of your grocery stores, they've declined. It's the same thing. It's what goes into it and being able to deliver it, that kind of thing. Here's something that maybe you don't think of that much, but when you really need it, aluminum foil. I've been caught where I haven't had aluminum foil, and you know how you need that over the turkey. So anyway, if you find that, grab a bunch of them, because it might be easy to find in some areas, but harder to find in others. It just depends on where you live, like everything else these days, right? But see, part of the problem, again, is truck drivers. There's a shortage. Labor, you know, in employees in some of these factories, etc. So there's a problem there. Then the other problem is flights. Flight prices might be lower, but if you don't buy your tickets soon, you might not be able to get them, because at some point they become out of reach, and of course it becomes much more expensive if you can even find a flight. And my prediction, and I don't have to have anybody tell me these numbers, I can tell you from sight, from seeing this in a couple of airports I've recently been to, people are tired of being trapped in one spot. And if they have a few pennies to scrape together, and especially if they can get a decent flight, because the airlines are desperate and they're throwing out all kinds of deals in some cases because of what they've had crash lately and the frustrations over that. I mean, seriously, you go and the airports are jammed. You're lucky you can find, if you go to park, you're lucky if you can find a place to park. So there is that when we look ahead to the next couple of weeks, because game on. We're past the ghouls and the goblins, and officially, to me, that's the start of the holiday slide at the tail end of the year, because we slide into Thanksgiving, and before you know it, it's Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever else that you celebrate, the tail end of the year, and then poof, it's New Year's, and we're into 2022, believe it or not, 2022. Wow. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Hey, coming up next, we're going to talk to a father and daughter duo who make up a thing called Recon Food. You know, people have this thing about taking pictures of their food and posting it, and they actually created an app, and Spencer Razkoff is the co-founder of Zillow. You know Zillow when you're looking up houses. And Hotwire.com. And because of the pandemic and cooking so much with his daughter, they came up with this idea for Recon Food. And I like their idea. I like how they put this together where you can take photos of restaurant dishes, review them, that kind of stuff. I mean, who isn't looking for a good place, that, even if it's pickup, where you can get something decent, Italian, American food, or whatever it is. And I think this app is just a great way to have a central point where you can look stuff up and get some ideas from some people. You know, you get tired of eating the same thing over and over and over again. In the meantime, there is some funny that has happened in the last 24 hours, believe it or not. And some of that funny includes what I thought somebody sent me somebody sent me this funny story. They sent me a couple of funny stories in the last couple of days that made me just laugh out loud. And I think this is pretty interesting, being a dog owner. I would almost say this could be a mic drop moment. How about the St. Louis apartment that uses DNA tests on dog poop to find the thoughtless owners who do not pick it up? Nothing infuriates people who don't have dogs more, and people that do have dogs, frankly, when somebody just leaves their dog's business on the lawn or at an apartment complex, especially. That's why this apartment complex in St. Louis, I guess they have a big problem with it. So instead of listening to people complain and complain, they want to find the culprit. And there's a lot of people, apparently, who have dogs in the galley 1014 luxury apartments. So they're requiring, you gotta love this, they're requiring all tenants with dogs to register their pets with the cheek swab sent off to a company called Poo Prince. It's based in Tennessee. It works with apartment complexes, homeowners associations, dog parks, campgrounds, and other businesses around the world to hold pet owners accountable. So that's what we have to do now. They're like, there's no honor system anymore with dog owners. No, you have to have your dog's cheek swabbed so we know if it's their DNA, what it is. So how it works is if a dog's feces is found, then somebody with the apartment staff would collect it and have it sent to this company, Poo Prints. They run a test, and in 7 days they're able to determine which dog it came from. So then this one apartment complex in St. Louis would fine a first-time offender, but they say repeat offenders can have their pet privileges revoked. I mean, it seems like, are you serious about this? And you know what? They're serious. This company that, I don't know when it was started, a few years ago, they have like 6,000 customers around the world. They get hundreds of pieces of, I know I keep talking about the same thing, of poo in the mail a day, bags and bags. And the idea is they're promoting responsible dog ownership, pet ownership, protecting the environment, and they expand pet access through the services is what they say. The EPA considers pet waste, did you know this, as one of the top five pollutants. Runoff from unscooped pet waste can make its way into water systems, contaminate drinking water, and other water sources. I don't know. That would be very strange, wouldn't it? Well, there's no way you would not pick it up if you lived in these places where they required you to do that. That would be that. I would hate that job of being the person who has to collect the samples, let's say. What a world we live in. Again, where is the honor system? That's a mic drop if I ever heard one. Boom! How much, in this world where there's lots of jobs you can have, how much would you have to pay someone to do that? How much would you have to pay someone to do that? You know what, and it, seriously, I mean, I know I'm laughing through this and it is funny, but how many people listening to me right now hate that? I mean, you hate that because you live in a neighborhood where that happens. And what happens if you have a bunch of, you know, fields that you walk through? And people are not picking it up. Ooh, I'm just saying. Just thinking, right? Just thinking about it. All right, one quick one, too. I'm going to throw this out at you. I happen to see this. A stolen street sweeper, who does that, in Richmond, Indiana, led police on a wild chase. According to the Richmond police, officers were called to respond to reports of someone driving heavy machinery recklessly. The driver was seen swerving at people as if they were trying to hit them, as well as driving through residential yards. The driver of the sweeper was identified as a 55-year-old. Police say they had to slow him down with spikes. Ooh.
Hey, it's Kate Delaney. We have breaking news from Facebook's founder and CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Listen to what Mark has to say.
It is time for us to adopt a new company brand to encompass everything that we do. To reflect who we are and what we hope to build, I am proud to announce that starting today, our company is now Meta. Our mission remains the same, still about bringing people together. our apps and their brands, they're not changing either. And we are still the company that designs technology around people.
Meta builds technologies that help people find communities, connect, and grow businesses. Remember when Facebook launched in 2004, it changed the way people connect. Apps were created like Messenger, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Now Meta is moving beyond 2D screens toward immersive experiences like augmented and virtual reality to help build the next evolution in social technology. To unlock more opportunities, go to meta.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It may feel like age is just a number, but the fact is, even if you're healthy and active, your immune system weakens as you get older. And if you're 65 or older, you're at an increased risk for potentially serious illnesses like pneumococcal pneumonia. One way to help protect yourself is to get immunized against vaccine-preventable diseases like pneumococcal pneumonia. Dr. Jorge Gomez shares more on behalf of the American Lung Association.
Pneumococcal pneumonia is a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Adults 65 or older are over 10 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults 18 to 49. You may also be at increased risk if you have certain chronic health conditions such as asthma, diabetes, or heart disease. If you're 65 or older, vaccination can help prevent pneumococcal pneumonia.
This flu season, visit lung.org/pneumococcal and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about pneumococcal vaccination.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I can't wait to introduce you to this dynamic duo, father and daughter, the Razkoffs. Spencer Razkoff is an entrepreneur, co-founder of Zillow, Hotwire.com, LA, think about that, and so much more. And now Recon Foods, and Sophia Razkoff, his daughter, who is obviously the co-founder and CEO of this. And what is Recon Foods? Think of the pictures that we take. Think of what's happened because of where we are now. And it's a vertical social media app that brings people together through a shared love of food. Ooh, I know all about that shared love of food. So I'm thrilled to have them with us. Thank you so much, Spencer and Sophia.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So, Sophia, let's start with you. How did this all come about with you and your father creating this?
We developed Recon Food during quarantine, so food was something that was really bringing our family together. We were cooking lots of new recipes together with all our time, baking almost every night at one point, so it was just really something that we could connect over. And at the same time, we saw the whole world connecting over food. There were all those trends going around of the cloud bread or making your own sourdough bread that we saw that were just connecting people all around the world. But at the same time, social media was a really stressful place, at least for a lot of people during the pandemic, as it is now. It can be really toxic and stressful, as well as filled with lots of news and just anxiety and noise. So we wanted to create a better social platform that's just for food all the time.
Yeah, so tell us about the app and how it works.
So Recon Food works by connecting to your camera roll and then using computer vision to look at the photos in your phone already that you've taken of food, either in your kitchen or at restaurants. And there are a lot of privacy settings built in, so it scans those photos and then prompts you one by one to choose which of those food photos to share with friends and family. And then going forward, when you're out at a restaurant and you take a picture of food, or you're in your kitchen and you take a picture of food, it then prompts you to share those photos with others. So it's a vertical social network just focused on food, with other features like collections of recipes that you like, collections of other photos that of restaurants you want to go to or of meals that you cook well, etc. And it's just a great, friendly, happy way to experience social media at its best, which is a way to connect with others over a single common interest, such as food.
Yes, I so agree with that, the single common interest. And Spencer, you know this because you've dealt with it in the success that you've had in business as an entrepreneur with the competition, et cetera. So what's the benefit of using Recon Food compared to other food apps?
So a lot of other food apps focus on restaurant ratings and reviews. We're really more of a social network. So think of us sort of like Instagram, but just for food. And the reason that that's important is food is the most social activity there is. I mean, that's how humans connect with each other. And so we think food is an important enough category that it deserves its own social network, one that doesn't have politics, that doesn't have news on it, that doesn't have people yelling and screaming about different things. We like to say it's food without the fight is Recon Food. So it's just stripped down to just this one category, and it's very social. It's a way that I'm keeping in touch with my friends and family in other cities, so they're seeing what food I'm enjoying, and I'm seeing what food they're cooking, what restaurants they're going to.
Yeah, so Sophia, picking that same thread up, I love it, hashtag food without the fight. How do you target the food community through eating out and cooking at home? How do you do that?
The main thing that we've been focused on is that feature set. So because it's a vertical social media network, we can develop really specific features that you wouldn't find on a more mainstream app like Instagram. Other examples of vertical social media networks like Recon Food would be Strava for running, or All Trails for hiking and discovering hiking trails, or even LinkedIn for professionalism and your work life. So there are lots of these other platforms that already exist. On ours for food, Recon Food, we're really diving into those features to make cooking more accessible and easier for people. So you can link a recipe directly to your post, and anyone else can remake that recipe by finding it on your post and saving it to collections. You can find restaurants that are near you by looking at the map feature, and you can see all the restaurants that anyone's posted at anywhere in the world. So it's a super fun tool to discover restaurants, discover recipes, and just share what you're proud of with friends. Food is something that, at least when I cook, I'm so proud of, and I want to share it with everyone, and this is really the best solution for that.
So what's really cool to me, and I said in the introduction, the dynamic duo, you know, father-daughter, what's it been like for you, Sophia, working with your dad, especially launching a new venture, and this is something that he's good at? How has this inspired you and what it's been like?
Well, I've been learning from him for my whole life, hearing about everything he's worked on. So it's been a really incredible experience for me getting to work with him myself on something that we're both so passionate about. I think the main thing that he's taught me and that I've been inspired by is just his drive and dedication towards what the customer really needs and wants. So that's something we've been really focused on, and he's taught me to focus on, has been doing lots of customer interviews, taking lots of feedback. When we're coming up with a new feature idea, we ask our friends who really enjoy the app what they think of it and how they would like to see it. And we have lots of examples of recent features that we're now developing that came out of those interviews, and people saying, hey, you know what would be cool? You should add this and that. So that's something that he's really taught me to focus on, and it's something that's made the feature set of the app much better.
Nice. Hey, Spencer, how about for you doing this with your daughter? That's got to be great.
For sure. I mean, I'm a very proud father, obviously. And Sophia's taught me a lot about how younger people use social media. And it was Sophia's insights during quarantine when she said, you know, social is exhausting. I opened my TikTok, my Instagram, my Snapchat, and it's everyone yelling at each other about different things. There should be a better way. And, you know, the answer was right there in front of us on our stovetop where we were cooking together. So it's been amazing learning from Sophia, seeing her experience with social, and just seeing her dedication and drive to this project that we've been working on together.
All right, get this app, Recon Food, Spencer and Sophia Razkoff. It was delightful talking to both of you, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So a couple of minutes left for this hour of the show. Something really, really significant has happened that you might not be aware of. Now thousands of people are laying flowers at the tomb of the unknown soldier, and it marks its centennial. So it's a first. Members of the public follow the path where the sentinels keep their 24/7 watch, and I think a lot of people are showing up to do this. I know that I've been there, and it was awe-inspiring. I've been there a couple of times not to do this. This is an incredible opportunity for so many people. Thousands of people joined a solemn procession at Arlington National Cemetery on Tuesday, following a path that's been worn for decades by only the old guard, to lay flowers and pay respects to the nation's military dead at the tomb of the unknowns in honor, like I said, of its centennial. So you just had a sort of a steady pace, and you, I saw some video from this. It was amazing, of flowers and side by side slips of paper, small flags, all of that. And it continues through Wednesday, the whole day Wednesday, and it's open to members of the public who have to register to attend, but it's one of several to commemorate the establishment of the tomb 100 years ago. There's going to be a military flyover that will happen on Thursday, and I think it's a wonderful way to recognize a very, very important monument to people who sacrificed their lives to give us a better life. And looking at that line, just chilling, just wonderful to see the people who filled the plaza and the steps above the memorial and were so quiet. You know, in the video that I saw, it was so quiet and very solemn, and just all walks of life that are would leave a flower or more flowers, or as I described, notes. You could see that. And, you know, I love it. What a wonderful, wonderful idea, whoever came up with that. 100 years. And we thank everybody for their service, those that continue to serve, those families who have sacrificed the ultimate with their loved ones giving their life. 100,000 Americans perished, as did hundreds of thousands of French, British, Germans, and others. When we talk about World War I, the memorial was established to commemorate what, at least until then, had been an unprecedented level of carnage in warfare at that time, modern warfare. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour. Make it count, everybody. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.